Hi, it's Dave. So we have some big changes ahead for the EV tax credit. And also we have a big update on Tesla Berlin Gigafactory. So let's first go into this EV tax credit. It's a fast evolving situation. There's going to be some big changes ahead. So let's review this whole process first. So the EV tax credit is part of the Build Better Back Reconciliation Bill. It's about $2 trillion of spending over 10 years. And it's part of the budget reconciliation process, which only needs 50 votes in the Senate to pass. Right now, currently, the House has passed this bill and has handed it over to the Senate to discuss. Some people in the Senate are trying to vote on this bill by Christmas. All right, so the review of the EV tax credit terms. So these are subject to change, but this is what has passed in the House for now. So for an electric vehicle with at least 40 kilowatt hour of batteries, you're going to get a $7,500 tax credit. And then if it's a union-made vehicle, you'll get $4,500 of extra credit. Next, if it has US-made batteries, you get a $500 bonus. There are some adjusted gross income caps. So for individuals, it's $400,000 in adjusted gross income. For joint filers, it's about $800,000. Now there's an MSRP price cap for the vehicles. If it's a sedan, it's $55,000. If it's a SUV, $69,000 and $74,000 for pickups. Now, if this bill is passed in the Senate with changes, it'll have to go back to the House to get passed, and then it'll go to the White House for signature. If this passes, this will apply to EVs purchased after December 31st, 2021. This is a refundable tax credit, meaning if you don't have $7,500 in tax liability, you still will get that money back. And further, the phase out for this tax credit is planned to be December 31st, 2031. All right, we have an important update that came out just yesterday from Bloomberg. They're saying that this EV tax credit, the $4,500 union bonus part, is going under a review by the Senate Parliamentarian Office of Elizabeth McDonough. Now, if the Senate Parliamentarian Office actually says that this shouldn't be in the reconciliation bill, it's not a budgetary item, then they're going to nix it, and then there won't be a union bonus at all. Further, we have some information from Democratic Senator Ben Cardin, who serves as a member of the Senate's Tax Writing Committee. And he says that there are actually changes regarding this union bonus that are already being discussed because of opposition. And then a person familiar with the matter said, alternatives being discussed include tying the bonus to so-called prevailing wage requirements instead of unionization, though it remains to be seen if the construct would win the parliamentarians' approval. If they use a prevailing wage qualification, then yeah, even Tesla would qualify, or they might just nix this whole union bonus altogether. All right, further, about a month ago, we had Senator Manchin. So he's a West Virginia Democrat. He is kind of the key swing vote in the Senate, and he has a non-union Toyota Motors Corporation plant in his home state. And Toyota vehemently opposes this union bonus. So does Manchin. He was quoted as saying, "This is wrong. This can't happen. It's not who we are as a country. It's not how we built this country, and the product should speak for itself. We shouldn't use everyone's tax dollars to pick winners or losers." Now, this is strong language coming from Manchin, and the Democrats need his vote. So in my opinion, I think this union bonus probably is on its way out based off this. Further, November 29th, Reuters reported Japan's Toyota, which has a plant in West Virginia, but whose employees are not union members, has been lobbying heavily against the proposed $4,500 union credit. Now, Toyota is one of the automakers who are spending the most in terms of lobbying dollars. So yeah, another kind of hit on this union clause. A couple days ago, Senator Manchin also spoke at the Wall Street Journal CEO Summit. Basically, he's super concerned about inflation. He's not sure if the government should be spending all this extra money. He wants to wait out and really see the impact on the economy of the other kind of stimulus and other efforts the government has put into the economy earlier this year. So yeah, he's kind of not very excited about trying to pass this bill this year. He thinks there's a lot of things to be worked out. So tomorrow we have a really important CPI index number that's going to be released. And this CPI is the consumer price index. It's how the government judges inflation. Now there's a lot of critique on if this is a real accurate, you know, judge of inflation or not, but regardless, this is what the government uses. It's coming out tomorrow, December 10th at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. Okay, we're going to find out what the government thinks inflation is at. Last month, the CPI inflation was reported at 6.2%. Now, if the CPI number, I think, comes over 7%, then I think Senator Manchin and some others are going to be emboldened to try to delay the reconciliation bill even further because, yeah, their concerns of inflation will be justified and it'll give them more momentum to try to push off this reconciliation bill. The longer this reconciliation bill is delayed, I think it loses momentum and there's going to be less chance that it actually passes. So overall, this reconciliation bill and the EV tax credit is in limbo. There is a lot riding on the inflation numbers coming out soon, and there are a lot of discussions and things being worked out. All right, let's move on to another item of note. So Gary Black, I've had him on my channel a few times. He's a great follow on Twitter. He said that he met with Tesla management yesterday and reported the following. So first, Austin and Berlin are likely to open with limited production before year end. So this is fantastic news. Both factories are on track to start production, but they probably won't start deliveries until like Q1. That's my take. Number two, Austin and Berlin year one volumes and gross margin should be similar to Shanghai year one. So with Shanghai, they really outperformed expectations on margin. And so this is good news that Austin and Berlin are tracking on the similar way. Also, we had a great ramp actually by Shanghai during this first year. And so this is also a good indication. Number three, we have confidence that fiscal year 2022 deliveries will be approximately 1.5 million versus the street's 1.27 million expectations, battery capacity permitting. So yeah, this is another kind of good news here. I was forecasting between 1.4 and 1.5 million. Yeah, if Tesla delivers 1.5 million, that'd be fantastic. 2022 is gonna be a fantastic year, I think. Also, number four, Cybertruck is on track for late 2022 start of production and deliveries. Of course, all of these timelines are in limbo depending on what happens between now and then. All right, number five, capacity expansion required will be via Shanghai, Austin, and Berlin. So they're focusing kind of on their main things. They're probably gonna be scoping out new locations as well in the next coming years. Finally, I had a tip from a German follower of mine, and he told me that actually he can confirm that Tesla is very close to the start of production at Giga Berlin. He said on Monday he was called by Tesla Germany. They need the first end-of-line drivers at the beginning of the new year. These are the actual drivers who will drive off the cars from the production line. So yeah, Tesla Germany is expecting an asking these people to be ready at the beginning of the year. All right, hope this update has been helpful. If it has, go ahead, like, and subscribe. All my videos can be found as an audio podcast. Just search for Dave Lee on investing in your favorite podcast player. I'm also on Twitter at HeyDave7. All right, we'll see you guys in my next video. Thanks.